Hi, and welcome to the Mouse and More podcast. I'm Chris, and tonight I'm joined by Rachel, Liza, and Adam. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
All right, so tonight we're going to do a really quick news show, and I wanted to talk like very briefly on a couple of things, and one of those things is Rise of the Resistance, which I got to ride last week twice. And we don't want to do any spoilers because while I think you could hear a lot of things and not have the ride spoiled, I really believe that. Don't watch any videos though. But I did want to talk about a couple things. The first thing is getting there. Right now they're doing boarding groups. Kelly talked a little bit about it a few weeks ago. Basically, if you get into the park, okay, so you probably want to get there at least a half hour before the park opens, and you're just, they won't let you get into the park. Like say for example, the park was open at 6. At about 5:30, they started walking us in. And as long as you're in the park at 7 o'clock, you are good to go. You are probably going to get a spot, but that's not necessarily going to be an early one. Like, I'll give you a good example. I got into the park at about 20 minutes till, and I waited in line at Starbucks. I sent my husband and the kids off to ride something, and I waited at Starbucks. And I was talking to this guy and his kid who was about 12. So you know where this is going. He's faster on an app than I am. So we both had our phones out. 7 o'clock, boom. He gets in immediately, gets the first boarding group. Me, I'm number 72. So I'm way, and we were doing it at the same time. So that not only tells you like, okay, I'm slow, but it also tells you how quickly and how many people are getting into these boarding groups. So, but again, they had let us in the park about 20 minutes early, and we were all just doing other things when 7 o'clock rolled around and the park opened. So that was that day. The other day it was at 6 o'clock when it opened and we had to do the same thing. I will tell you that on a personal level, doing this twice on a 6-day trip meant we didn't get a lot of sleep. It was Christmas week. We had, you know, lots of reservations and things we were doing and fast passes. So I'm pretty tired right now. Okay, so like the first day we were in boarding group 76 and we got called around 1:30. That's because there were a lot of breakdowns. And the next time we did it, which was 2 days later, we were in boarding group, I think we were 102, and we got called around 3. And it didn't break down at all that day until we got on there. So that wasn't great. We were told we could come back, which we did. They took really good care of us. We went through the fast pass line, which if you do the fast, eventually, of course, they'll have fast passes just so you know you miss nothing from the queue by taking the fast pass line. All the pre-show starts after you know, get in there and you don't miss any of that. The pre-show is extremely important. We did the first time we did Rise of the Resistance, perfect, everything, saw the pre-show, the whole nine yards. Second time, we didn't see the pre-show. Those areas were down, and they stayed down that entire, like, most of the afternoon and into the night. You miss a lot. The pre-show is really, really important for this ride, unlike something like Flight of Passage, where you could care less about the pre-show. I'll just keep this really brief and tell you, Rise of the Resistance is a fantastic ride. It is, and I don't think Kelly talked about this, and I think that maybe we look at it a little differently, not Adam, but those of us who are travel agents look at it a little differently, because we always look at rides like, what are my families going to think? What are my guests going to think? And this is the perfect family ride. That's the best way to describe it. You could be 3 years old if you meet the height requirements, you're going to love it. You could be 95 years old, you're going to love it. It is not, and Rachel, I thought about you so often on this. It is not jerky. You're fine on this ride. Literally, if you can handle Buzz Lightyear or Toy Story, you can handle this.
Okay.
So no tickle belly hills.
No tickle belly hills. There's nothing that will bother you. I can't wait till you try it because I know you were a little apprehensive about that one drop. Calling that a drop is like, that's an overstatement.
Yeah.
It's not a drop. The other thing is, if any of the listeners have been on Ratatouille in Disneyland Paris, it's the same concept with the, what is it called? The trackless vehicle. And that it is so smooth. It's like you're ice skating almost. It's like, ooh, it's very nice. The animatronics are fantastic. It's very, if you are a Star Wars fan, you're going to love it. You will recognize these characters. The cast members stay in character very much so. And I have to mention Melissa, who of course doesn't listen to the show, but was one of our First Order officers who was interrogating us, and she was very good. So if you get Melissa, you're in good hands, or maybe not good hands, because, you know, you are a prisoner. Anyway, it was fantastic. I felt like there were a lot of similarities to Ratatouille in the sense that you did have that similar vehicle. It was very smooth. And of course, you're going through these massive rooms. So fantastic ride. For thrills, Flight of Passage is still number one in my book. So,
well, that's interesting to me that Flight of Passage is still number one. So I feel like Flight of Passage,
I don't even like that movie.
I know, I can stand that movie, but
it's just visually, I think it's interesting, but, and the story is interesting, but there's something about it that I'm not interested in at all. But that attraction is amazing.
Okay.
When that whale comes out, or looks like a whale, and it tries to get the bird, and then you go under the wave, oh, it's the best. So,
okay. Did the kids think it was better or worse? I shouldn't say worse, but it was as good or not good as, you know what I'm saying, Flight of Passage. What did the kids think?
I think my whole family thought, okay, so it's not really fair because Kevin and the boys didn't see the pre-show because Sophie and I were the only ones who went the first day. And if you miss out on that, you're missing out on so much context, of the interaction with the cast members, so many really phenomenal effects. So I would say to somebody, if you don't get to see the pre-show, I don't know what to tell you because that's so much a big part of this. And of course, you've only really, most people are only going to get that one shot, right? That one day to do this. So I will say, I will answer your question real quickly. I think Kevin liked Flight of Passage better. I mean, we all liked the theming of Star Wars more, but I think as far as the thrills go, Flight of Passage is just a more thrilling ride. But I think the kids pretty much liked Rise of the Resistance more. So,
well, that's interesting that the pre-show really is that important to the actual ride.
It's really important. Okay, so when they call your boarding group, you have 2 hours to get back. Whether it's to get back from, at one point we were eating lunch and they called our boarding group. We were at Ale and Compass over in Yacht Club. We had plenty of time to get back. I know that Nick and Sasha, who are listeners, when I had talked to them when it was first open, they actually went home and took care of some things at home. So, because they're local, there's a lot of time. So, in fact, one of the listeners was on our Facebook group the other day and she mentioned taking a bag versus not taking a bag. And because she wanted to get through really quickly. And I think that's a good point. Like, if you have a car, you could keep your stuff in the car if you feel comfortable with that. That way you don't have to go through the bag check because you can leave and go back and take a shower and have breakfast. You just have to have everyone in your party in the park and then you can leave. But I don't know why you would want to because all those other rides are open and they're not going to be that busy. So,
okay.
But that's about it. Definitely check it out. Like I said, it's the perfect family ride. So,
well, and Chris, I had a client there and they were able to rider swap.
And oh, okay.
Yes. So they got to ride it twice, or the dad got to ride it twice. Actually, he rode it 3 times in one day and I still haven't got him to confess to me how he got on it a third time.
Wow.
They did rider swap. So take advantage of your little bitties and maybe you can ride it more than once.
Well, did they have a problem with their attraction with the pre-show? Because I had heard that some people who had issues with the pre-show that they were able to come back later. They were given a return time.
So, he didn't tell me that. I don't know. This client ended up having the flu and they had an RV.
Yeah.
It was a lot of problems. So, but I haven't gotten out of him, but I just know he sent me 3 different pictures of him being on it 3 different times.
Okay, that's really nice. I mean, it's, you know, I think the thing I like is, you know, at Disney World, a lot of times you're going on these rides and they're so jerky and everything. And this was just so smooth. And somebody said, well, isn't it a little scary for tiny kids? But it's really not like excessively loud. You know, like, you know how sometimes you get on these rides like Dinosaur. Like, part of the problem with Dinosaur is it's really loud.
And it's pitch black in there. And you don't know what's going to happen. I hate that ride. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just scary to me.
Yeah, this isn't loud. And the other thing is it has a really upbeat feel. At a certain point, you have this upbeat, exciting kind of feel. And it's just fun. It's just fun. So
does it relate to the new movie in any way?
Yes.
You've seen the movie?
And, I know you don't want spoilers at all, but it definitely, immediately you'll know. Okay. So yeah. And we all wondered. I mean, it's not like specific to it, but you know, you'll see, I'm not going to tell you cause you'll, if I say too much, you'll get mad.
Oh yeah. So,
okay.
Oh yeah.
So, okay, let's go on to the next story. Let's go with Rachel.
Okay. So Disney has not forgotten about the Avengers, even though Star Wars has been on everybody's brain. The Avengers campus is going to be opening this summer at Disney's California Adventure in Disneyland. They did not say when in the summer, just this coming summer. The campus is set up to recruit the next generation of superheroes. There will be a ride. It's going to be the first Spider-Man ride at a Disney park. Of course, there's a Spider-Man ride at Universal in Florida, but this is going to be Disney's first Spider-Man ride. And here you will be able to test drive what they're calling the, quote, the web slinger vehicle, which allows you to sling webs just like Spider-Man. There will also be a PIM test kitchen, and this is in reference to the PIM test particles, like with Ant-Man and the Wasp, how that they use that to shrink and also enlarge themselves. So in this kitchen, they will be using the latest innovations to grow and shrink food. They didn't elaborate any more on that, so I'm guessing this is going to be a place to eat. The other thing they will have lots of characters throughout this campus. So they mentioned they're going to have Black Widow, Ant-Man, the Wasp, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, also superheroes from Wakanda and Asgard and Iron Man. I thought it was interesting. They said superheroes from Wakanda and Asgard and didn't necessarily specify Black Panther and, Thor. they didn't specify that. So that made me wonder, you know, maybe they might bring some of the female characters.
Oh,
from
that would be
great.
Areas. Actually.
Yeah. And I'm just speculating on that, but all the others, they specifically listed characters, and then Iron Man will be there as well. So I think this looks incredible. And I don't know. It's making me want to plan a trip for the fall, because then you could definitely be there, you know, in time to catch all the Avenger stuff, as well as see Halloween at Disneyland. So,
yeah, well, that would be nice. I'm kind of excited. I mean, like, as much as I'm disappointed that A Bug's Land is gone, because I just love that. It's kind of cute. When I was there a few weeks ago, I saw, you know, kind of, you could see the buildings taking shape and getting higher. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And plus, as I understand it, that Spider-Man ride is kind of family friendly, right? It's not like a coaster or anything like that, right?
It doesn't appear that way. But again, they didn't really give much information on that. So
it's supposed to be dark ride, where you're shooting webs similar to Toy Story, Midway Mania.
Oh, that would be
back
fun.
Type. Yeah.
Because I saw that the Tron ride is really coming up in the Magic Kingdom, and we were, I was on Goofy's Barnstormer with my kid. Don't judge
Yay.
Me.
And where's that video?
You know, he went on Space Mountain before that, but he went on Goofy's with me. Anyway, so I like that ride.
That's good. It's right up your, it's your speed. So tell me about Tron. I am so pumped.
It's ridiculous. I'll put up some pictures.
I am so excited. I saw Alicia on those bikes, And I'm like, yes, girl, I am so ready for this ride. I am so, this is going to give Magic Kingdom new life for me, because I love Tron. I loved that movie as a child. That's right. Like the movie that I connect. I just loved it. I watched it all the time.
Okay, well, you're going to be happy.
Yes.
But it's a coaster, and I don't think Rachel and I will go on this.
No, I'll tell you all about it.
Some coasters I don't mind. Like, you know, Seven Dwarves or Big Thunder is not good with that. Come on, don't laugh. But I just don't like any, like Space Mountain makes me unhappy. And it's pretty and it's big.
It does look serious. I love it.
It is. Like I said, I'll post pictures. And you know, and I think that gets back to Rise of the Resistance, where they could have done a much more, you know, thrill intense ride, but it would have cut a lot of people out. So
yeah.
I'm really happy that both of the attractions in Galaxy's Edge are very family friendly.
Yeah.
So
I think that's good, and I think they're smart to do that, because I feel like Universal cuts a lot of demographic out. They cut a lot of family experiences out. And
they do. I mean, you know that, like, you'll be quoting someone and they'll go, and then I have a 4-year-old, and you're like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but I think that it's great, because then Tron is going to be intense. And I think Guardians of the Galaxy, do you guys, like, I can't figure out what's going on with Guardians. So.
It's a coaster. It's like a straight up roller coaster. But
is
I don't,
it?
Yeah, but I don't think
the
it's going to be crazy,
cars look so
though.
Huge.
I don't think it's going to be crazy. Like, I don't think it's going to be like a Tron coaster, like the Hulk at Universal, something crazy like that. I think it's going to be more along the lines of Escape from Gringotts at Universal.
Oh, okay. That would be interesting. Okay. Well, that's, I'll let you tell me about it. And if you don't think I'll hate it, I'll go on it. Because I love Guardians of the Galaxy. Those are my favorite. They're just so goofy. So.
I mean, if they're playing the soundtrack, I mean,
I know,
come on.
Right?
That is the best part of that ride at Disneyland, is just when the soundtrack kicks in, and it's just, it's really, really fun.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, my son, who's in 11th grade, all the kids love that music because of those movies, and I don't know, it's just kind of cute. But a lot of the Marvel movies, they pull from, like, the Spider-Man movies. It's always the Ramones, you know, which you don't necessarily expect, and it's really old music.
Love the Ramones. You know, but think about what they did with Frozen and the guy's song, Kristoff's song. It's like an 80s montage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Oh, God, that's a whole different thing.
It's a whole other show, but still.
Yes. But anyway, so, Rachel, that is good to hear that they're not wasting my property there, that Bugs Land. Those were so cute because they always reminded me of when my kids were really little. Anyway. Okay. Adam, what do you have?
Yeah. So Disney Springs is going to be getting a new M&M's retail store that will be state of the art. Ironically, it's taking over the former Curl and Fit 2 Run stores that are near the Splitsville Bowling Alley restaurant. So we got M&M's replacing the Fit 2 Run store. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, that's great, actually. Too funny.
There's M&M's stores in, like, a lot of popular touristy type areas. New York City comes to mind. It's like, there's one that's like two stories. So this is, if you're a fan of the candy of the M&Ms, you're going to like this. The cool thing about these is they have them all separated by color. So if you're one of those, like, high-end musicians that only eats green M&Ms or something, you can get your fix on your green M&Ms.
Do you know what's interesting, Adam?
Yeah.
When I checked into All-Star Sports, I did say, hey, I'm with this podcast, and I'd like a bowl of only the pink M&Ms. It wasn't in my room.
What? They didn't give you the Mariah Carey treatment?
No, there were no kittens either.
That's awful.
There were no lilies floating in the toilet. Nothing. That's what I read. I read she had to have lilies floating in the toilet.
That is something that I'm totally requesting next time.
Yeah. Well, okay. That and
I also need shirtless men carrying me around in a chaise lounge.
I think we can do that ourselves. We can find something.
She always is carried everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, Mariah.
You can't walk in shoes like that.
You know, that's true. I'd break an ankle.
Yeah, exactly.
She stayed at a local hotel where I live, and the hotel has a spa. And I was getting a massage there one day, and the masseuse was telling me, or maybe it was my nails, I can't remember. Anyway, a lot of stars stayed at this hotel because it's connected to the amphitheater that Walmart sponsors. And anyway, so she was saying that she had someone come to her room and give her a spa or a massage, Mariah Carey did, but the instructions were that person was not allowed to talk to her. They were allowed to walk in the room. They couldn't look at her face, and they could not say one word to her. Walk in, give the massage, and leave.
Wow.
Yeah, but how does that work? Because what if you have to say, like, hey, move your leg like that? I mean,
I have,
you know,
no idea. They said they were not allowed to speak to her.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
That's
very hard in the South. I mean, Southerners have to talk to people, you know?
Right. It's true. You cannot go through a drive-thru without learning about somebody's whole life story. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to hear about your grandma.
Yeah.
On another point, though, I heard that Lady Antebellum, when that group, when they were there, they were super fabulous and very kind and everything. So, anyway.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not biased at all.
That's right.
Okay.
Wait, back to the M&Ms, though. One thing that excites me about that, and I got to tell you, because, you know, I get excited about little simple things in life. So it bothers me at Disney Springs that there really aren't characters to meet and greet there, except if you go to the Coca-Cola store and you can meet the polar bear. And that's kind of fun to get your picture with the polar bear. And it shows up on your memory maker. At the M&M stores in New York and Vegas, they have characters. So I hope
like
they'll have
M&Ms?
Characters. Yes, they have the M&M characters walking around.
Oh.
And you can get your picture. So hopefully the M&M characters will be at this one too. And that would be another character you could get your picture with.
Yeah, you're right about that. They should definitely have a few more things at Disney Springs like that. They should have at least a couple meet and greets. Yeah. I think they need to spread that out.
They had Santa there this holiday season, and that was a huge hit. And he would, you know, they did it by a pager system or whatever, and they would text you when your time was up. But they, I mean, he was filled every day. But how great was that? People could go there to meet Santa instead of taking up their park time. But I know, like, when Parker and I had blacked out tickets, we loved going to meet the little polar bear dude. He's cute.
All right. Last but not least, Liza, go ahead.
Okay. So I have one, and then I have a food one too, because I saw a couple of interesting things that are food related that just came out that I thought was kind of cool. They have this will interest you guys possibly because you like Star Wars, but they have a secret new drink that debuts in Disneyland at Trader Sam's, but it's not on the menu, but you can ask for it. And it's called the Child. So it looks like a Baby Yoda.
Okay.
I'm just saying, everybody's kind of freaking out about the Baby Yoda fans. I don't know. There's something going on with Baby
Yoda. I'm kind of like to the point where I don't want to like Baby Yoda just because
everybody likes
I hear
Baby
nothing
Yoda.
About Baby Yoda. Yeah.
Wait. So is it the margarita that looks like the Baby Yoda with the limes as the ears? Is that what you're talking about?
It's got the limes and the blueberries as the eyes and the little grenadine smile. And they said that it's not on the menu, but if you ask for it, they will make it for you.
That's actually adorable.
It looks kind of cute, but I'm not exactly sure what's in it, and they didn't say. Also, You can get a new Dole Whip at Disney World. I don't know how I'm feeling about the Strawberry Fanta. But it's made with, it's an orange swirl Dole Whip with Strawberry Fanta. And it has Pop Rocks in it. And it's after the Lava short from Pixar. I Lava You. But I'm wondering if they would put the Pop Rocks in the regular Dole Whip float. Because I do like a Pop Rock. I don't know why.
Do you really? They're so disgusting and weird.
I like them. I don't know. I think it's a childhood thing. You know, you used to get them when you were little. I mean, I did anyway. But you can get it at Sunshine Tree Terrace. I'm sure there's a lot of kids. They're going to be on a sugar high. And they're going to be running around losing their minds because it's so much sugar with the Fanta and the ice cream and the Pop Rocks. That's a lot. That's a lot. And Neil Patrick Harris has a signature margarita at La Cava del Tequila, and he's really excited about it. He's so cute. It's a mezcal blackberry puree and like a hint of mint. And I think it sounds pretty good, although, I don't know, I can maybe have a half of one.
I'm not a margarita fan.
Yeah, but I thought that was nice.
Speaking of alcoholic drinks, at the, I think it was in the French Pavilion at the little festival of the holidays, they had this chocolate martini. And every time I went past there, I was like, I need to get one. And there weren't any lines because it was raining, like most of the time. But I kept forgetting. It looked so good.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, I'm not like, you know, but it was chocolate.
But it looked like really rich.
Look like a little pudding. Let's drink my pudding now. My pudding martini. Yeah,
that's okay, how you know you're getting old, drinking pudding.
Yeah, I know.
So you don't like margaritas, Chris?
I don't. So I had a bad experience with tequila in college.
Okay.
Yeah.
As most do.
Yes, this stuff is terrible. Who knew?
Oh, no. Okay, I've got to tell you something. I have never been a fan of tequila, but we did on the cruise. We did the tequila margarita tasting one night. It's, you know, it's a class you can sign up for. You know, it's hard to get. But anyway, I walked the day we got on the boat. I went right to guest services and they had openings. So I grabbed it.
Yeah.
And the tequila they gave us to take shots of, as well as like to sip. There was one that was to sip. It was actually good. And it didn't, you know, like the tequila I had in college and stuff used to burn your
chest. It tastes like paint thinner.
And it was awful. This was smooth and delicious. It was fascinating. And I want to say it is George Strait's tequila, but I can't remember.
Oh,
I'm gonna have to
yeah.
look that up.
Okay.
Well, I know it's good.
I just have to say something, though, because you have touched upon this for me, which is when I lived in Arkansas, one of the things I noticed was that all these Southern girls could drink you under the table. And I think this is surprising that, you know, you're like an Arkansas girl, very Southern, very sweet. But you're talking about this tequila. I'm telling you, this tequila would have me passed out in like 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, I don't shoot tequila because I think it's terrible. But in this class, this guy knew what he was doing with the tequilas, and he talked to us about them and everything else. Like, we did a shot of Patron, and I didn't even drink half the shot. I couldn't do it. But this one, it's called Codigo, I think is what it is. Codigo Tequila, and George Strait is part owner of it. And it was absolutely... It didn't burn. It just was good. I was shocked.
Who knew that George Strait had a tequila? I mean, you'd think he'd be busy shining his belt buckles, not have anything else to do.
Have you heard of Patron Tequila?
Yes.
Okay. It is owned by the same people that the salon, Paul Mitchell Salon.
Yeah, Paul Mitchell.
Yeah, Paul Mitchell.
Oh, so he's not doing too bad.
No, but their shampoo makes my hair frizz, so I don't think I'm going to trust their tequila either.
But isn't that crazy? So, and then evidently George Clooney, because to be actually tequila, it has to come from this certain region of Mexico.
Right.
And everything. And then George Clooney, I can't remember who he's partners with. Hold on. I learned more about tequila.
He's partners with Randy Gerber. And I forgot who else, but that's like Cindy Crawford's husband.
That's true. And right now they're having a problem because their daughter is dating.
Dude, yes.
Pete, whatever his name is.
Yeah, they need it.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
There, now you got your celebrity gossip.
Yeah.
Celebrity gossip.
And your tequila knowledge. Try the George Strait tequila. It's very good.
Well, you know it's smooth if it's from George Strait because he's pretty smooth.
And then you can be asking to sit in his chair.
Oh, George.
Oh, yeah.
I think MPH, he's got a pretty good thing going on with his. His is like a mezcal.
He's like Mr. Disney.
Yeah,
he really is. Like
tequila.
Everybody, like if there's something going on there, he's there with those ridiculously cute kids.
Exactly. He's adorable. And
they are adorable.
Another news story. So a guest fell overboard on a ferry boat at the Seven Seas Lagoon. It was a woman, and she fell off of the second story of the ferry boat.
And that's complicated.
How? Because I'm looking at it. There's a railing, so you don't just kind of fall like that. You know what I mean? Like,
It's pretty high up.
Yes, and it was, like, late, so the sun was already down, and she was trying to swim toward the Magic Kingdom, which
was the boat going
the opposite way.
Well, none of us like to leave the park.
I know.
I mean, I understand.
Oh, I
well,
wasn't
maybe
ready.
Okay, but maybe it was closer.
It might have been, but maybe she was like, I didn't get my Dole Whip.
Hey, you know what? If you have a magic band, you can get right back in that park and go get your Dole Whip. They don't care if you're soaking wet.
If you smell like swamp monster, I mean...
Like, tell me how many times in the summer you have been soaking wet and smelled like a swamp monster.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that's pretty much the norm if you're there in July.
There are some shoes, I swear to you, if they got wet, there's no way. I mean, it would be bad. Oh, no. She's swimming around in this, and they did say it took a little while, but they did rescue her. So hopefully she's doing okay, and hopefully this incident doesn't happen again. I don't know exactly how it happened. I find it very curious. Maybe she was leaning against the railing like the guy in the monorail sign. You know, the guy that's got his arms just crossed and his leg kicked to the side and he's leaning against the doors and the monorail and it says, don't do this. You ever seen that sign? That sign cracks me up. Every time I ride the monorail, I stare at that sign and I think, oh yeah, who did that? Who's standing like that in this monorail? It's the funniest thing.
I mean, they're going to want to figure out what the heck happened. You know, if she jumped in, that's one thing. But if she just, I don't know how you could do it though, because I mean, okay, on the bottom, on the main deck, it would be impossible. Because it's really the high, right?
Well, it's almost completely covered on the bottom. It's just the top has a railing.
Oh, you know what? I'm looking, and honestly, it's like waist. Oh, yeah, somebody could fall off there.
Yeah, but I mean,
as a short person, I couldn't. But, you know, some of these, in the picture, some of these guys, they're like, it's waist high.
I don't know. I mean, I'm 5'7". I don't think I could fall off of that. I mean, unless I tried to.
You could be goofing around and acting crazy. And, you know, people get loopy. I mean, the one thing is probably not, she probably was not drinking just because, you know, there's not, you'd have to try really hard to be intoxicated in the Magic Kingdom. And I know you know some people who could do that, Liza. But
I do. I mean, people do. But I'm just, I don't know. I'm hoping that she's okay and everybody involved is okay. And I just hope that the fairies do run for the sake of everyone there.
She is okay. She's okay. She was rescued, it said 300 yards away.
Okay. Well, and that's not a lake that you want to jump in.
Thank goodness she knew how to swim.
Yeah, it's just not a lake you want to jump in. I mean, there's just too many things living in that water to... I would never... See, I do pools. I don't do lakes. I am not doing a lake. Like, it's just not ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Nope, not happening. But anyway, well, that was an exciting event for some people.
Do you know what? There's a Wikipedia page called List of Incidents at Walt Disney World, and someone already updated it with this. People just love it when bad things happen at Disney.
Well, yeah. But it's good for everybody to be aware that it could happen,
right,
and to make sure that you or your children are not close to the railing on the top of the boat, or if you do, just be extremely careful because you don't want to fall in that water. I mean,
kids.
Yes, a personal nightmare. I would.
Yeah.
Oh, they.
I can't even think about it.
All they hear is some girl screaming. Oh, it would be bad if I fell in there. Oh, I would not. I would look like the biggest wuss. It would be so bad. I would be embarrassed. I'd be on the news. Like, and some hysterical woman fell in this water and she's screaming the top of her lungs. I'm telling you, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
It's kind of like when I ride Dinosaur.
Exactly. One last thing I wanted to talk about was I stayed on the gondola at Art of Animation. And of course, Riviera Resort, which is the newest resort that just opened, is right on the gondola. So one night I did get off and I went and explored that resort. It's different. It is not very Disney. Reports have come out that said, you know, it's very grown up looking, and that's 100% true. Other than some mosaic, you know, pretty tiles and things as you sort of come off the gondola towards the resort, you don't see a lot of Disney stuff. And the shocker for me because I'd heard a lot about this resort, about how beautiful it is that it's really got the tiniest lobby I think I've ever seen in any Disney resort. Very tiny, no big soaring ceiling. It's just a small little lobby. It almost looked like a Marriott. So I think it's definitely a different trend that Disney's kind of going in, where instead of these sort of, you know, like lobbies that make a statement, it's just very understated and not Disney. It's very grown up. It could be a hotel anywhere.
You know, I haven't actually walked through it, so all I'm doing is judging from your photos, but yeah. I feel like it does look like a nicer hotel that's like adjacent to an airport somewhere that's like a really high end, like a nicer hotel. But they did have like a mural here and a mural there that's like Disney related, but the murals, the artwork that's around this resort is all over the place. It's not right. just themed to one character. You've got the Aristocats mural. You've got a mural of Rapunzel lanterns. You've got...
It is not like when you get into the main lobby, it's not Disney. It doesn't look Disney at all. The theming is just so grown up, and not that I don't even know, because like, for example, Beach Club is a smaller lobby, right? And it doesn't have Mickey's everywhere, which that's I prefer. True. I don't want that. But it's got like a feel to it. This yeah. place didn't have that. It could have been anywhere. Like you said, it could have been a nice hotel by the airport. When I go into a Disney hotel, I want to feel something.
Like a theme. That,
well, not just that, but I want to feel what the person who designed it wants me to feel. Like when I go into Grand Californian, or when I go into Wilderness Lodge, or even into, you know, Pop Century or one of the All-Stars, I connect to that because of how it's been designed and how they're trying to, you know, convey what the idea of that place is. And it doesn't have to be Mickey, you know. This place doesn't do that in the least. It's just pretty. And I know that it's supposed to be Riviera, and it's supposed to, you know, sort of be evocative of like Walt's trip to Europe. I'm not getting that.
I get that from nothing in here, really, in the lobby area. And I feel like the other resorts, like you said, like Wilderness, that is all like an immersive theme to me. I feel right. like I am immersed in what they're trying to sell me. Beach Club, I know where I'm at in Beach Club. Here, I don't know where I'm at. When I walk in here, it just feels real generic with a few Disney touches yeah. on some murals. But that being said, I have seen photos of these rooms. Like, I'm all about the rooms.
Well, and that's the thing. I think the rooms are pretty extraordinary, and I think that's what's going to sell it. And also, you know, for us, we're sort of, do you know when I realized that I was spoiled by Disney theming? I had, like, when I was in college, I never went and stayed on property because I couldn't afford it. But then I got married and I had kids, and we went to Fort Wilderness for their first trip ever when the twins were babies. And I loved the theming. And then the next trip, I finally stayed at the Grand Floridian and always wanted to stay there. And then the trip after that, I stayed at All Star Sports. And I realized that I was already spoiled by really good theming in Disney hotels. So that's how I approach a hotel, right? You know, I like the theming. This hotel is fine for people who don't care about that. On the other hand, it's a DVC resort, so people buy into it.
Well, I will tell you, the studio rooms, wow. I mean, the bathroom.
The bathrooms are beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. But see, I like that clean look with all the white.
I do.
I love that.
Do you know
that.
What it reminds me of inside? A sandals resort or beaches.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like the certain sandals that yeah. have refurbished their rooms to look kind of like that. That's what I like.
Right. Yeah. No, I think that's how it looks to me. Rachel, you said something, though, about how Disney newer hotels are kind of going in this direction.
Yes. I just feel like with all of their, even their renovations, they've become kind of sterile and generic.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with the Pop Century and the movies, if it wasn't for a picture, you can see similarities between that room to even the renovations at Saratoga. to, you know, they've come up with this whole model that works for families, the pull down bed, you know, the laminate floors. However, they're not changing the color scheme up very much or anything. It's all just, it just seems, oh, I don't know. I say sterile, just no right. character to me.
I think that I sort of was a little worried about that because we just stayed in a refurbished room at Art of Animation in the Cars Suites. And I thought, well, how much of the theming will they take away? The answer is none. I mean, other than to change the flooring, which was a major improvement. Not having carpet in the room is really nice, I think. Although it's still in the hallways. You know, they didn't change anything. They just updated, made it a little fresher. So I was happy to see that. But I know what you're saying with Pop. Although I have no complaints about Pop. And
no,
movies.
I mean, I love the rooms. I love them for their function, you know, their function,
right.
functionability or I don't think that's a word, but I might have just coined it. But they're fun. You know, they're very functional for a family. And I love that. But honestly, would you know you were in a different resort if you just walked in the room and you took out the one picture?
No. Nope.
You wouldn't know the difference.
Right. Yeah.
And then if you go to Saratoga or even Riverside, if you look at them, they're all very similar.
Yeah.
They might have a couple extra little features. You know, they're bigger, so they have more space, or they have a different lamp. But, you know, where's my pillow in Saratoga with a horse on it? You know,
right.
just those little.
Yeah, because that was already pretty understated as it was with the Disney theming. But then it was cute when you did see the pillow with the different horses on it. It was just a different Disney horses. I thought it was a cute idea. But if they took that out, I don't know.
I was very happy with the refurbs at the values because I thought they looked a little. And I realized that the refurbishments are very sort of sterile. Like people were saying it looks like a hospital room in some cases. But to me beforehand, they were just a little, I don't want to say busy, but it just seemed like it didn't work as well. And I do have to say the storage underneath the bed, I love that. And that's the other thing they did at Art. There's so much storage under that bed. Like you could sleep another family under that queen size bed in the master bedroom at Art of Animation. It's huge. So that was great. I don't know though.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, I think the rooms look very nice.
Yeah.
But I just think some families, when they think about going to Disney, they think about that themed room, such as at Art of Animation. And you used to could get that in a lot of these resorts. And you
right.
can't.
Yeah, it's true.
Sometimes it doesn't hurt to throw some blue and red, you know.
And you know, that's the other problem with the Riviera is it's a big gray building with a big R on the outside. It reminds me of the L on Laverne from Laverne and Shirley.
The signature. With
this big R. It's just,
and
I don't
I'm
know.
Not loving the
tacky.
Yes, I do not like the outside of that resort. But I've got to say, I'm looking at these refurbished rooms at Saratoga, and it is much improved. The tiles, it needed to happen.
Yeah.
It needed to happen.
Tiles were so,
they
reminded me of like my apartment from college.
Yeah. No, those renovations were needed, and they do look so much better. But then again, could you take that room and say, yeah, this is Saratoga Springs to me.
Right.
Yeah, I see some horse photos, but I know what you're saying. Because I liked those little throw pillows and the little things that they had. But there was so much Tilex needed in the old rooms. I'm just happy that they just got rid of that. Seriously, that's all I thought about was Tilex the whole time. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
The furniture was falling apart. The dressers were pitiful.
It was sad, but it's gorgeous now. I mean, it's beautiful now. But yeah, they could have done something. I mean, even the headboards, like they could have had something on it, you know, that made it Saratoga.
So why do you think they're moving away from like the more intense theming to these kind of more generic rooms?
It's easier.
Well, I think this way Rachel says it's easier. Also, consider who's coming now to vacations. You have a lot of people that are used to the generic Hilton Marriott, Starwood Suite, whatever hotels, where they just want a room to sleep in, and they're not looking for anything extra. So I think Disney, that's why Pop rooms have gotten a little sterile. Same thing with All Stars. I think they're trying to make the majority of people comfortable as opposed to a niche, because the Disney fandom that like me and you guys are that want the intense theming, there's a small amount of us versus they want everybody to sort of feel welcomed, and they don't maybe want to intensify the theming. That's what I'm guessing. I don't know if that works with Riviera though, because it's a DVC resort, so in theory the people booking that are Disney fans,
right?
You know, like,
well, do you think it has something to do with, okay, this is one thing I notice, the millennials, let's say millennials in general, I think they like cleaner lines. I think you can even see it in advertisements. Like, you'll see like a sign for a restaurant that's like, you know, like you know, a place that, you know, has their own beer or what, you know, whatever they're doing, whatever the kids like. And the lettering is all similar. It's all like super simple. And it's like, I wonder if this is like appealing to that demographic that wants a simpler design, whether it's in the restaurant menu they're looking at or, you know, in everything or in their hotel. Does that make sense? Like, I think that as people your age are getting married and going on vacations, or not even getting married, just necessarily getting the money to be able to travel and to book a better hotel, maybe they think that demographic wants something a little more simple and streamlined.
I do. You guys have been in Apple stores, right?
Yes, that's a really good point.
Apple store is countertops, tables with just the product.
Yeah.
It's white walls. There's nothing flashy.
Right.
It's get in there, figure out what you want, and get out. And I think the trend, and this isn't just Disney hotels, this is like every hotel. The trend is get away from the frills, give us a comfortable bed. We don't need anything extra. And then, you know, we're going to come in and get out. Disney, of course, you're there to enjoy the theme parks as well as the hotels.
Right.
I loved the pictures that I saw. Riviera, the grounds look great.
Yeah.
There's a bocce ball court, which looks really cool. The pools look really
nice.
No
one will ever use that bocce ball court.
Oh.
Ever.
No, probably
like
not.
My Uncle Sal might.
Yeah. Uncle Sal. Is he going
Uncle
down
Sal,
to play?
Is he allowed to travel again? I thought he was like, you know, it was a 10-mile radius. no, seriously.
I love bocce. Bocce's fun.
You are not going to Disney to play bocce, though, right?
No, you're not. First of all, we all know Adam. If you get Adam in the park, he's like a cat. You know, he's like, I got to go. I got to get on these rides right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's there to ride rides. He's not there to play bocce ball. And I don't think most people are there to play, like, a game like that. Something I don't think most people do.
Right now, wait a minute. Rachel is the queen of.
That's a very good point.
Resort amenities, yeah. Rachel.
Yeah, I would probably be excited by it, but I would have to have somebody explain to me how to play.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be like an out and throwing a frisbee. But here's a question for you, though, Adam, especially for you, because I know you've been on a high because your dear new Twitter friend's been tweeting with you lately, but. Isn't Joe Rohde involved with the next Reflections? Isn't he helping with that design?
Oh, I hope so.
I don't know. I thought his project, I thought, is the new island that they're doing for Cruise Line.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. Okay. Dang it. That's so Reflections is probably going to look like the retirement community that it sounds like it is.
And see, to me, I love the Joe Rohde hotels. I love the Wilderness Lodges and the Animal Kingdom. You give me a lawn. You know, I love all that theming. And it's still elegant to me, but I love that.
Well,
I dread Reflections.
Oh, I do too. Because,
but again, Reflections isn't that DVC. A millennial-focused resort?
It is, but we're not all millennials.
I know, that's true.
Yeah, but Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, even the Beach Club, these are hotels that you are not going to get at that experience anywhere else that you go. You will get the Riviera experience somewhere else. You will get, like, those resorts, you're going to get that experience checking in at a hotel that's a nice hotel.
Well, and I think the other thing too is that, you know, like if you look back at Sandals did the exact, like what Adam was talking about, things being more simple. Sandals did the same thing. They used to have these very ornate beds and, you know, all the tile was painted tile and, you know, it was very Caribbean looking. And now they've gone, I mean, it could be a room in a hotel. I mean, it's beautiful. But it could be a room in a hotel anywhere with a fantastic view.
I feel like Sandals is different, though. It's different.
Well, it is different. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, I think you're seeing a big trend all over, like Adam said, with this sort of more simple lines and everything. And even like their sinks are like, you know, the big trough sink, which I despised. Because where are you going to put your toothbrush? Where are you putting all your stuff? You know, it's like really awkward. But you see that everywhere now. And just like, I don't know. And the worst thing I think about it too is that like the style of Wilderness Lodge is not going out. It won't go out of style, right? Like 100 years from now, you will walk into Wilderness Lodge and think this looks great. But you won't walk into that lobby at Riviera in 5 or 10 years and think it looks anything but outdated. Because it already looks outdated.
And I think that's because Wilderness Lodge represents something very specific.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom Lodge does. Even Grand Floridian. They're all very specific themes. Whereas Riviera is, according to Disney, it's like the Riviera of the Mediterranean. Well, that could involve Spain, France, Italy, Greece. And they have all of those different cues in all over the place. And because I know there's a bar that kind of looks like the Greek isles or like the white rooftops and there's the bocce court that's from Italy and the building itself is a very French theme type building. And they've decided to pull all these different themes together and try to mesh it. And without seeing it in person, I could understand the difficulty, but I think they just, I hate to say it, but it's almost like they had a bunch, like 4 different themes, and then they were decided, instead of doing 4 resorts or picking one, they just decided, let's just put them all together and figure it out that way, which is kind of unfortunate. But
yeah, I don't dislike it, but it doesn't speak to me, for lack of a better way to put it, I think. So we'll have to see. Now, you're staying there in January, right?
Yeah, last weekend in January.
So we got you one of those little tower rooms, the tower studios that are the small ones that have been much maligned by like many people.
Not only they're much maligned, but right now I don't think you can use the bed because they're having issues.
Is it your bed in that room or is it?
It's the pull-down bed.
Yeah, it's the
Murphy
little
bed.
Pull-down twin, right? Or is
I think
it the,
it's all the beds that pull down.
Yeah, it's all the pull-down beds.
It looks like it's a very small room, and everybody describes it as a small room.
Yeah, I cannot wait to hear what you think about it. I just, like, as soon as they, because I book Adam's trips for the listeners, because he's not a travel agent. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh, God, Adam's going to cancel, and we'll have to find something else, and that's a busy week. But you didn't say anything, so I guess you're good, right?
Yeah, I knew what it was.
Right.
Hey, who knows? Maybe they upgrade me. But
yeah, that could happen. Tony got a nice one.
I'm fine with what it is. And for me, it's fine. I don't know, having extra people in it'll be kind of tough, but
yeah, one person, that'd be okay.
Yeah. I'm going to close this show out for now. Thank you for listening. And you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. We also have a private Facebook group. We'd love to chat with you on that group. If you are traveling anytime soon, please go over to Main Street and More Travel. We would love to help you out. Good night.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.